Hawaii, and you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall, and we've got a whole range of topics to talk about today. And our call-in number is 826-7771. We will have quite a bit of room today for different callers. But Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Kauai Store. And I really want to say how much I appreciate the Kauai Store. They, they sell pretty much all made on Kauai items. It's very much a store that supports the local artisans, and they've got great stuff. It's there in Kapaa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapaa on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
The Kekahu Foundation's Outreach and Development Committee will hold its regular meeting on Wednesday, June 29th at 6 p.m. at Cafe Coco's in Kapaa. This meeting is open to the public and you are invited to attend. For more information, call Donovan at 808-634-0807.
And that Kekahu Foundation, a great organization and happens to be the parent organization of KKCR. So that's what they're about. How are you, Marshall?
Doing great, Felicia. How are you today?
I'm doing really well, and we have a lot of different topics that, you know, going on. So many things happening in the world. And
aren't there?
Incredible amounts, you know, good and bad and intense. It just, I don't know if it's that we have more places to be hearing about stuff or you know, or if things are speeding up, you know, probably any time in the world there was a lot going on. People just didn't know about it the way we do now. Everything's instantaneous.
Right. And, you know, to some degree, too, it's just, do we look? At any given moment, if you want to take a look into the news, there's a ton of stuff going on in the world. We just are only fed a little bit of it.
Right. And then I think as social media gets so broad, we have, you know, as so many reporters through our friends and through different blog sites, there's really a big host of information. So I would say that most of what is, at least on my list today, and callers can call in with whatever they really want to tell us at 826-7771. But there's a lot of good things going on, too, and so that happens to be a little bit more of what has my attention. How about yourself?
I can't wait to hear your good news, Felicia.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't always get, like, ecstatic, happy stuff coming
well,
from you.
I mean,
so
well,
what's up?
Well, there's a range of things. But, like, in the beginning, I did want to play this song that Melissa Etheridge wrote for what happened in Orlando with the Pulse tragedy. The a lot of people died there, and I thought it was a really good song. She wrote it about that, and then what I also really liked was, you know, it seemed like it applied to a number of things that have been kind of happen around here, too. We have had, you know, every week it seems like we have some tragic loss of life, and without going into it, this week has been no exception. So for those of you who are out there hurting, I really want to acknowledge that and, you know, people have hard things, people have hardships, but we have to always figure out how do we find the best in everybody, not be angry, you know, looking at how we can make things better. So this is Melissa Etheridge with a song called Everybody's Got a Pulse.
Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody, hands up. If you're alive,
Was Melissa Etheridge singing in front of a live audience at a place called Infinity Hall, to a really crowded room, everybody standing, hands up, very, very moved by what she had to share.
Great song.
Great song.
Touching.
You know, touching. And I loved how when she's talking about that, she's not even, it's not coming in anger. It's going, everybody hurts. Everybody's coming from some very strange place, and or not everybody's coming from a very strange place, but everybody's coming from their own place, and for some people who are very injured, that can be very strange, you know. But she has a heart, and she's not trying to create more anger out of that, and I thought that was really good.
There's some real great stories coming out of that too. Like, did you see today, there's a guy who drove 1200 miles with 49 homemade memorial crosses.
I saw that he was making them. Did he get down there, and so he's put those up?
Looked like he delivered them. Yeah, I didn't see the see them set up. I saw him unloading them.
Yeah, and there was also the story of people holding angel wings out around around the service. So there's some Jecklers that are from, you know, the Westboro Baptist Church. I don't know too much about them, but I know that they can have a very, very harsh view of what's right or wrong, and not in line with the main people thinking.
Those are the people that were protesting at the funeral. And,
yeah.
And then you had this theater group that were dressed up as super big angels with
wings tip to tip blocking
their view.
Yeah, and kind of protecting. And I even saw on Kauai, I think it was last Friday, a vigil down there at the beach. It's important for us all to take time to figure out, you know, how we can express that we love each other and honor each other.
Now, let me ask you, there's conspiracy theories already around this. Do you put any stock in that sort of thing?
Well, trying not to express my opinion. No, what I think, number one and first of all, is anytime these tragedies happen, they are very, very sad, and there are very real, powerful, painful losses. So nothing pales beyond that. I can't help but notice that they happen about every other month.
More and more frequently.
Well, more and more frequently, but they almost feel orchestrated, you know. So, like, I just get, so I don't even go in and look for the backstory. I expect it. Like, I expect something big like this, you know, right over when the Democratic Convention is. It seems like when we need a distraction, almost on cue, there's something that can go out there that tells us as Americans, hey, doesn't matter where you are, whether you're at church or school or with your friends or at a concert or wherever it might be, you could be at a Christmas party for a nonprofit. You know, it doesn't matter. Something can come out of nowhere and do something really horrible. Somebody can. And so, you know, then we have the big effort to take away the guns, and, you know, if one wanted to orchestrate it, you know, I don't know how they would do a better job. I mean, this certainly has silenced some of the dissent that's out there, but I don't want to cheapen anybody's loss with kind of looking at that angle.
Right. Okay.
But, I mean, you brought it up, so are you seeing that? I actually haven't gone down that rabbit hole to look at. I'm sure there's a whole group of things that say.
Right, it seems like it's inevitable. But, no, if you haven't looked at it, it's.
Well, have you?
Not enough to say much about it. So.
Okay. I hesitate to do it when I know that there is so much pain that can be coming in at a time when there's that. And
I mean, I have followed the follow-up in terms of trying to get some gun legislation passed. And, I mean, if that was, if there was some goal of, you know, inspiring gun legislation, that didn't work. That certainly
Because it's been quashed again.
You know, the latest I heard was that they were going to allow a fifth vote. Four of the measures failed in the Senate. They were going to allow Mitch McConnell was going to bring up the fifth one to vote, and it was about as minimal as you could possibly get. Not even everyone on the terrorist watch list would be prevented from buying an automatic assault weapon. Some other people would. So, maybe they'll go for
that. Right. I mean, I've seen things like saying, you know, people sharing that actually have been in the military and how difficult it would be to bring that many clips into, you know, to walk in with 30 clips of all those bullets. It's almost, you know, it's very, very hard to understand how that could happen. But I haven't really looked deeply at it. I haven't felt like it's appropriate, or at least to do it on the air. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Sheila Young calling in.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, I am so excited to see that you're taking calls on all kinds of subjects.
I am.
And I have a subject I would like to bring up.
Okay.
This Sunday, we are having a very special man, Nathan Winograd, coming to our island to help us come up with some solutions to what's going on at the Kauai Humane Society so we can all start loving the thought of bringing animals to the shelter for help and the community. So I'm just very excited, and I'm really hoping that our community will see this as a great, great opportunity and show up to support our animals, because we're the only ones that can. They can't speak, so we need to be a voice for them. So I just wanted to share that, and I also want to thank you so very much for all the hard work you've done and helping to observe everything that's going on and report it and help me understand things and help me calm down. You're very good at that, helping me to see how to behave. And I'm learning a lot about myself, and I'm enjoying helping alert the community to the truth and finding solutions. So thank you. I love you very much, Felicia. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there.
Okay. Well, thank you. And, you know, we were just talking a little bit about, like, how important it is in how we message things. And what I try and really work on, and certainly I try and work on, KKCR helps me to come from that perspective, is how important it is to solve problems or look for solutions without having to make anybody wrong. And so when we're thinking about the challenges at the Humane Society, because that's basically what you're speaking to, right?
Right.
When we're looking at the challenges, because the issues that have come up there over the euthanasia rate is a consistent rough spot for people, and, you know, our animals, our family members, and it's a tough job in there, right? You know, with the way everything is structured, you know, the prevailing way of managing animals across the United States, there's a lot of animals. What do you do with them? So some of them get put down. And that's got to be a rough job for these people who are inside doing it. Mm-hmm. So what I really like about Nathan Winograd's statement, and I'm going to go to this event, and I'm looking forward to hearing the ideas that he has. I saw the film. I believe it is going to be shown. It's called Redemption. Mm-hmm. And it will be good for everybody to see it so they can get a calm moment to listen and hear what the solutions are and how the processes have happened in other communities, even when I think it was in Reno or someplace like that, someplace in Nevada, maybe Carson City. It's been a while since I watched the film, but there was no open shelter, meaning where animals can go that don't have a challenge, and still they were able to spend less money and place all these animals and have a whole lot less animals born, because ultimately responsible management of all these pets means they have a home and they aren't having puppies and kitties left, right, and center. I think it'll be a really good environment for people to go in, hear what has happened before, where it's a thing of just listening, and then my understanding of how this event is going to be is he's going to start to answer questions about what works or what hasn't worked, and then to be hearing what is unique about whatever culture, community he goes to. There's been some pushback on the internet, so I've looked at the naysayers that are very concerned about this. And what I understand is the No Kill Animal Center, that's what it's called. It's a group. It's a 501c3, but it is basically a consulting organization, and he's the main guy from that goes around to different communities who would like to change how they manage their live release rate versus kill rate on these animals.
Just overall reform to a better thing for the community and animals.
So overall reform. And what's unique about Kauai is that we have all these endangered birds. You know, we have these rare and unique birds, and we do have a real problem with feral cats. And so, you know, what might work in New York City isn't necessarily the right thing, or San Francisco might not be the right thing for Kauai, so they have to sit there and look about, well, how do we manage it? And so my understanding of what's going to be happening is that it's going to be a discussion where we look at what obstacles do we have in order to create. Do I have that right? I mean, you're closer to this than I am.
That's the main reason we're getting together, is to strategize and look at our options and answer questions and, you know, just get information. This guy's an expert, and he's coming, and this is the only time he's coming. And
I have to thank the Big Island for that, because
yes,
they're the ones who really have brought him over.
Nawahini is the one that gave me the remedy, and then, you know, through help with you allowing me to express myself and helping me to understand things when I've had questions. And as we've gone along, I've seen and learned, you know, just as much as everyone else is learning now. I'm just as shocked as all of this. But what really relieves me is the solutions and Nathan Winograd's, you know, remedies. He's just an amazing, brilliant, brilliant man. And he's 100% pure. And he has 100% success rate. And those are the kind of people I go to for information and to follow. And I'm just very impressed and very excited. And for the first time in 6 years that I've been noticing these funny things going on, and now that I have a full understanding of everything, and now that I know there's a solution, for the first time in 6 years, the tears that I cry now are not frustration and anguish. They're hope and excitement for our community and for the animals especially. So, you know, you play a huge part in this, Felicia. And
well, thank you.
I cannot thank you enough. Like, I just want to cry because you believed in what I was saying. And even though I didn't actually know what I was saying, and now that I do, it's horrific. And this man is the doctor for it. And I'm hoping our community will show up. If I could, excuse me, jump out of this phone and just put a loudspeaker all over the whole community. Please be a voice for our animals. Let's make changes, and it's going to help the community heal from these horrible things that, you know, I and others have experienced. It'll put an instant end to all that and bring love and unity for animals in the community, and that's what I'm focusing on more than anything.
And then just trying to, you know, balance the expectations. It's a process. It's not something that happens overnight, and it's a movement forward. And for the listener, what our discussion was is looking at not being angry at individuals who might be in the crosshairs of this crisis, and looking at, okay, well, what is in the system? Looking at the contracts.
Exactly.
Seeing that, okay, we don't have to be mad at the people. We can see that in the contract, it just straight up says at least a portion of the money is for the destruction and the disposal of the animals.
It's, right. Well, and you know what, what I need to thank you for is when we first got going on all of this, and I got the contract from the mayor's office, and I needed help, you know, understanding things, so I took it to you to help me to understand things. When I realized what it really was, I got so angry that I remember crying and going crazy, and you said to me, Sheila, you need to look at the contract. That's what's causing all of this. If you take the focus off of the people, the players that are just doing their job following the contract, and focus on changing the contract, then that will help you feel better and make changes, positive changes. So that's like the biggest thing that you have, the biggest gift you've given me in this, Felicia, is each time I start going in that direction of being angry at these individuals that are doing these things, that I focus on changing this contract, because I know it instantly that will dissolve all that, and the healing can start.
We see that there's a contract that's a portion of their money that has a very defined goal, and that goal, it could include placing them back with the families, but that's not, it's animal control. Mm-hmm. But then what we saw was in all the counties of the state of Hawaii, there is a similar challenge. And then in reaching out to the other islands who are also challenged with this, we see different islands, each one of them, Maui, Oahu, and Hawaii, they all are going through this same thing. Mm-hmm. Because then we, I think it was Hawaii Island that brought this Nathan Winograd. They were looking to work with him. So that brought some of this knowledge of, okay, well, where do we have a solution? So right now, as I'm speaking about this, this can be about any issue. It's not just this issue. When there is a problem, before we get very angry at or be tearing down the individuals who are right in the threshold of it, it's important to back up, look at the bigger picture. If we see something that can have change, all right, we look at that. How do we change it? Then we look for examples of where it's successful somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So when Nathan Winograd is coming over here, and this is you and this is Hawaii Island that have brought them, but I'm going to come and I'm going to watch, and I'm glad for what's going on there. And I believe that people, at least I read in the paper, that people from the Humane Society are coming. So I'm really thrilled about that. I'm hoping that some of our policymakers come in there, because it's hard to make a solution if you don't have the participation of everybody who's got a stake in it. You know, the bird people have a stake in it, and I believe at least they're coming to listen. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a really important first step.
And like you said, it's a process.
It's a process.
Forward in the right direction.
So we don't want to use the word instantly, because you're not going to see an instant change. It's not an easy change. But it's been so heartwarming to see different people have ideas, like neighborhood houses that can receive lost dogs. If somebody finds a lost dog in their neighborhood, mm-hmm. they can bring it to, you know, we'll have to work to make sure this is okay. And you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Kauai Soapbox, Felicia and Marshall, and this is Sheila on the phone talking about a workshop this Sunday. That's 10 to 4, is that what you said?
It's this Sunday at the Aqua Kauai Beach Resort from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And at 10 o'clock, Redemption, Nathan Winograd's film, will be showing. And then he'll be giving information. We can ask questions. He'll give answers. And it's a workshop.
It's a workshop to get the community started. It's not it's not like, you know, this is Sunday and then Monday instantly there's going to be all these changes. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it is free of charge.
It's free of charge. I can't say that. It wouldn't. If you didn't have any money, you could afford to go.
Right. There's no excuse.
Okay. So there's that. And then I think that some of the other stuff that I've seen kind of come out of the woodwork in this, I think it's a little early to name names, but there are some organizations and individuals who have organizations that could partner in mm-hmm. with the process that's already there.
Yes, and they're absolutely amazing, and I can't wait till we can say names and start, you know, giving. There are some real incredible presence waiting for us once we make this change, and I can't wait to share that with the community. That's what makes me happy.
Okay, and we want to, like, allow this workshop to come out. We want to allow these people who have something to offer to raise their hand, and then we want to be able, in my opinion, now this is my opinion, my suggestion is that, you know, I'm thrilled that, as far as I know, some of the bird people, I want to call the bird people, because they're just as fierce as you are about dogs, about the birds. Everybody's got their thing that they protect. So that they are welcome, and that they're not going to guide the conversation, but they're there to be a player in it. And then the Humane Society is going to be coming to this, and as far as I know, from what I read in the paper. And so when we start looking at solutions and where we have partner agencies that can help make sure we get more adopted out and that we have ways that the animals that come in are coming in healthy and that the animals that come in are getting fixed and all that other stuff. And here I'm jumping ahead of myself because I'm not really a strategizer.
And one thing I think that's important to bring up, I believe this is going to be a very large event with a lot of diverse, like you said, all kinds of different people and groups. And for me, you know, I represent the hunters and the hunting dogs, and I've invited a lot of hunters and to come because there's a lot of issues surrounding that we need to, you know, include in our new programs and things. And so we're asking everybody, this is Ho'oponopono, this is a place to gather for solutions. And this is not a place to vent anger, this is not a place to put your opinions in or anything like that. It's a place to listen to an expert who can help us solve problems. And that's what we're there for, to listen with respect. And that's gonna be, I mean, we're very, very serious about that because we do know that, you know, there's a lot of people that have been affected by certain things, but we're not there to talk about that. We're there to talk about the solution. So I'm just asking everyone to come with, you know, peace.
So maybe to suspend judgment and
yes.
to listen with an open mind and an open heart.
Yes.
I'm not part of the organization, but my suggestion would be, if people have a strong viewpoint that about something they've observed, like
or experience,
like, you know, in their neighborhood, you know, a bunch of seabirds have been chewed up or whatever it might be, that they can at least bring a written document so that it is can be looked at lunchtime or what. I don't want to tell you how to run your organization, but like,
we're going to have partitions and there'll be gatherings. Probably people can talk afterwards or whatever. But basically the bottom line is we want this to be a very peaceful, gathering of people that are really interested in making some good changes in the community and wanting the information on how to do that. And that's what it's going to be.
So they're going with an open mind to hear the possible.
Yes.
And then so further conversations will be coming down the road about how this can be feathered in.
Right. That's the future. We know the horrific things. We're aware of everything. That's why Nathan's coming to help us. So basically, we're there to get the information to move forward so that we can alleviate the symptoms of the disease. And so that's what we're there for, to listen to the remedy.
And I'm going to still choose softer words. I'm going to say, you know, because what to me, in making community work together, and I see this over issue after issue after issue, is, as I say, working to not make anybody wrong,
right,
finding a solution. So I'm sure when you're using hard words like horror or something like that, that it's got
to coming from a personal place too, you know.
Okay.
I mean, it's so that's where, you know, I'm learning to curve my words and to soften myself. I'm a lot softer than I was when I first started finding out about this, and I'm sure I'll get softer as
yes.
time moves forward into the solution.
And
you know?
I have had some of the leaders, two of the key leaders, the executive director and the president of the board or the chair of the board, and I've gone in there and I've talked to them, and I'm just gonna put myself in the crosshairs. They're horrible people. You know, they're nice people. They're in a difficult spot. So I'm just going to say that they're in a difficult spot. And so I like to work to not have that anger going out there. Let's just work together
just
to come with a solution.
Focus on the contract and
yeah.
making the changes. And then, you know, that's the focus. And that's what, you know, that's what I try and keep bringing myself back to is,
yeah.
like you said, the contract, and let's make the positive changes.
Let's make the positive changes. We don't need to attack anybody.
Right. Perfect.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, so thank you for letting me
share.
Let the community know and your support, and I'm hoping to see you there and give you a big hug.
Yes. Yes. And thank you. And if Hawaii or Maui or Oahu, there's actually all these islands are in the same position. If they're listening, because I see I've got listeners from all the islands. I just want to send out our love and appreciation, and that,
yep.
you know, we can all work together and learn yep. together, and hopefully we can come up with something.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful. It's so beautiful, the synchronicity and the magic that's happening on this end of putting this whole thing together has just been absolutely from Source itself, and I'm just so grateful to be an instrument in it all, and I want to see, I want to get to the other side. I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Felicia. I love you.
Okay. Love you, too. All right.
Aloha. Bye.
Aloha. So, that's Sunday. I'm going. Lots of things this Sunday. You were just gave me a note about CERT and something going on tonight, so why don't you announce that right now so people have time to maybe go and make a choice. So CERT is Community Emergency Response Team, and Marshall, my co-host here, is very active in that organization.
Right, so there's another round of training coming up, and these are six classes with classroom and practical exercises in disaster response, rescue and medical operations, and search and team organization. Three locations in Hanalei. The classes start on July 14th and run on six consecutive Thursdays in the evening. At Kapa'a, the classes start tonight at 5:30, which is why I wanted to mention it. They'll be on Tuesdays. And in Lihue, the classes start on July 11th, and they'll be on Mondays. They're all 5:30 to 9:30. And John Cornell is the contact at 645-0661. And you can also register at kauai.gov/cert.
Yes, and I want to just again give a shout out to our civil defense people who've been in here, and our radio people, and we had John Cornell in here. We've had the CERT people. John Cornell works with the fire department. We really have a great team of first responders.
Mm-hmm.
And Marshall, you had given me a video that CERT did from the training that you were at a couple weeks ago, and can you please place that on the KKCR Facebook page so if people wanted to see a little bit more information about that, they could go to Facebook and look at KKCR Kauai Community Radio and learn a little bit more, and then there's some phone numbers and information there. So I think that that would be a good thing. I've been noticing online that there's a big heat wave running across, I look at really the world. You know, seeing they did where they put like the humidity and the temperature together. I guess it's only 117 in Iran, but the humidity is so high that it looks like it's like 165 Fahrenheit, you know, for what they're coping with right there. And I saw even last month in Arizona, a lot of my childhood was in Arizona, and it was 117 was a high temperature. Usually it'll hit that in the summer, but that's normally like the end of July or August. To have it hit that in May is very significant.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh, my goodness. And we start complaining when it hits 90 degrees here.
Well, it's real different between humid and not humid. Like, in Arizona, to me, perfect is between 95 and 105. It's much cooler if it's dry. Mm. I mean, I like it hot. So for me in Hawaii, I'm pretty much never hot.
Yeah, in Arizona, you know, you just don't have the ocean to jump in.
No, but you got a pool. And in a place like that, you know, we get sub-zero. You know, that you can have minus 12, minus 15, up to 117. When you're along a coastal region, the ocean keeps everything pretty mild. You go inland, and it gets much harsher. And so I saw some footage from California. I'd never seen that before of a fire tornado. It was really kind of beautiful to look at, but it was amazing. You know, it was like a fire, brush fire that was going, but it was near township. You know, you see buildings and stuff, but it was a tornado of flames.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess this is a third year. If we have an Akamai listener, I am not a weatherman, but, you know, they're saying this is a third year of warm oceans. And so just this week, they have the International Coral Reef Conference on Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been kind of picking up in the news and different things, the different pieces that they're studying on. And so the coral bleaching happens when the water is warm. What that is that the algae and stuff, or the little creatures that live right on the coral, die. And so it's they have a symbiotic relationship. So that's difficult. And so when there is a convergence of stressors, they're a lot more likely to be giving up. And we're seeing corals giving up everywhere. So it's a good thing that they're having that conference. And this is here in Hawaii, in Honolulu, and that's not normal. You know, it moves around the world, but that's something that has happened. Moving to a different topic, or you're looking at something? Do you have something that you want to...
No, I was just trying to post that thing. But
oh, okay, go ahead and post it. And so that's CERT, Kauai Emergency Response Team. I guess the reason why I brought up weather after I thought about CERT is because when we have profound weather is when we tend to need the emergency response team. Most of our challenges are weather over here, so we're lucky for that it is... just weather challenges, but they can be significant. And hey, I have really loved the weather. I like it when it rains and it's sunny and it rains and it's sunny because I'm a plant person. And that works out well for my plants. So they are thriving and growing like bad weeds.
Right.
Okay, what were you going to say? Okay.
I, unlike some people, I cannot do
two things at once. Okay,
or more than two. Really.
Okay, so what I want to bring up that I was interested in, and if I have any European friends out there listening, you could call in to 826-77771 here on Kauai Soapbox. Today's show is really a whole range of topics. You know, I was noticing that the United Kingdom, otherwise known as England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland, that they are going to be deciding tomorrow if they want to leave the European Union. That's going up for vote. That's something they're calling Brexit or something, meaning British exit from the European Union. The European Union, for simplicity's sake is sort of like having a United States of Europe as opposed to it's not as strong of a coalition as the United States of America. But when they use the same currency, now the English have continued to hold on to their British pound, but just like in the states of America, you can go from Florida to California and rent a place and get a job and spend your money, and it's all welcome, and you don't have to have a passport really to go from place to place. And so the European Union has been like that.
Right. So Brexit or Remain, the big question.
Okay,
you
so
voted
that's
on
like
Thursday.
You know, it's a, but it's tomorrow really, because we're at the very end of the way the Earth time clock goes. So it's not going to be our Thursday. It's going to be tomorrow morning.
Right. So, you know, actually, a really, really big deal, and it hasn't been that big a deal here in our news, but elsewhere, it's enormous, really. For Great Britain to exit the European Union, it's a major deal, and you know there are two sides of it, and one side says very strongly this could be a major economic disaster, basically for Britain, for the EU, even for the world, for the United States. Others say no, it'll be okay. I don't know what to think. I don't know that much.
You know, whenever there's this fear baiting, I just kind of go, yeah, maybe. France wants to exit that also, and then Ireland voted on that last year, and they just lost by a little tiny thread. Scotland last year tried to leave the United Kingdom. You know, so Hawaii is not the only place that's going, okay, we want sovereignty. You know, I think what's happening is that there is a greater concentration of authority and control, and the United Nations becomes stronger and stronger. And when we have things that even beyond the United Nations, when we have things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic TPIP, International Partnership Trans, I forget what the second P stands for right now, but those are like bigger than the North American Free Trade Agreement. So these are international corporate agreements with national governments, and it sort of supersedes nations. So we have a piece that's sort of bringing us to more and more globalization.
That's the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership.
Investment Partnership. So we're seeing that, and then so what does happen is everybody's like, hey, I want out. I don't like what's going on here, and we have these countries feeling overwhelmed by other people in as they have a whole immigrant population from the other countries coming in and working. I know last time I was in England, it was like there weren't any English people there. It was people from everywhere else, and certainly, you know, people from all over the British Empire and then North Africa and the displaced people from the Mideast. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia.
Yes.
I was listening to you, and, you know, you can go to this website called windyty.com, and it shows you the global warming of all, shows Hawaii first, but then you can scroll out and it'll show you the weather, it'll show you Celsius versus Fahrenheit, it show you the waves.
Oh.
And it also show you the cooling and heating of the oceans all the way across the middle of the, from the Pacific into the Gulf of Mexico and then across to Europe.
That's what
what you guys were talking about the coral, they don't give it too much talk, but there's a conference coming up starting September 1 through the 18th. And it's called the IUCN Conference of All the Pacific Small Nations in Honolulu.
So it's September 1? I want to go to that, by the way.
We were going to sail the sailing canoes from New Zealand, from Tonga, Fiji, Tahiti, and the Cook Islands, but at the last minute they canceled because they have the La Nina effect south of the equator, and they Fiji and Samoa just got some big win. So they said it was too dangerous, but their leaders are going to fly up here anyway.
So are you one of the makers of the Namahoy?
I am.
Okay, I thought I was recognizing your voice. So you have a lot of experience. You are one of the original Hokulea crew people, yeah?
Yeah. And you know, when you look at the ocean and you said, oh, it's 117 in Phoenix, you know, if it's hot all the way across the band, it's almost kind of, wow, we just got to worry more about it this year. Because, I don't know, it might be warm enough to generate all these cyclone hurricanes.
Yes, and so people who are in the sailing canoes, you guys have got to be so close to the pulse of what happens with the weather, because out in a canoe in the big ocean, you're very vulnerable to what's going on. When this website, is that spelled W-I-N-D, like David,
yeah.
E like Edward, Y like yellow?
Yeah. WindyTY.com.
WindyTY, like?
Yeah, it's like a T.
T like Tahiti, and then Y.
Yeah, like Tahiti, like Ted.
Okay, and then Y like yellow.com.
Yellow.com, yeah, and save it as your favorites, because every day I look at it, and it has a wealth of information that you could use. And yet, like you said, because we're getting ready to launch the Namahoy, we are looking at this very closely, because we would like the Kauai canoe, after it gets launched in 2017, to sail to Raiatea to meet the Hokulea that's coming back into the Pacific from the Panama Canal. And so all these canoes are going to converge on Raiatea at the marae of Taputapuakea.
And Raiatea, for people who don't know, that's part of Tahiti, yes?
French Polynesia.
And so that's a really an amazing thing. Like, this kind of voyaging probably has almost never happened with, like, the Hokulea circumnavigating the Earth. That's a big deal.
Yeah, they're up in Block Island in Rhode Island, off of Rhode Island.
Yeah,
the thing is that years ago, when Mao was the navigator that everybody learned from, then you can say all these years later, we can never be lost again, because we have all these young people coming up. And so when the Hokulea comes back to Taputapuakea, all the canoes that came to Hawaii all those years ago, I think it was in 2011,
mm-hmm,
2010,
mm-hmm.
Like
there
was
seven canoes who came, yes.
Yeah, they are all going with young, new people coming to meet, and then the ceremony is they're transferring the leadership, and then everybody gets to say their piece and then sail back to your island nation.
And that's going to be in 2017?
Yes. Because right now the Hokulea is up there in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to get all the way up by the St. Lawrence Seaway, and then it's going to come back down to haul out at Chesapeake Bay, Newport News, you know, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in September, and then it stays there until the whole year, until January, February of 2017. And then they start going back down the intercoastal waterway to New Orleans, and then across the
Panama Canal?
Across to Galveston, and then to Veracruz, and then Tampico, and then to Panama City, and then go through the canal.
And then when they come out, they're going to go over to Tahiti before they come home.
Yeah, after it comes out, they're going to the Rapa Nui, and then I think if they have time, the Galapagos. But by that time, all these canoes from their nations are starting to make the run to go to Tahiti. from the New Zealand, from Cook Islands, from Samoa, Fiji, and Tonga, and then us, and us from Hawaii. There's about five of the bigger canoes now that are the babies of the Hokulea. We'll try to sail down to Tahiti.
I know when the seven canoes came into Hanalei Bay, it was a tear-jerking moment to observe. It was incredibly beautiful. And a wonderful week of time, about a week of time of everybody welcoming them. And
something like that is probably going to happen in Raiatea when all those canoes gather again. You know.
Yeah. Wow. So that's
anyway. I'll just my two cents. Our other project, you know, the Namahoe, we put in the mooring blocks down there by the old club jetty site. We got permission from the Department of Transportation Harbors. So we got the moorings in, and so now the next part is in the end of August, early September, Namahoe will be, the canoe for Kauai will be put in the water.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to go on it.
It's pretty soon we'll let the public know, but that's around the heads up for you guys. I just thought I'd put it in there.
And
end of August, the beginning of September.
And people can look at also Polynesian Voyaging Society .org, I believe it is. But if you just Google search on Polynesian Voyaging Society, you can follow what is happening with the Hokulea right now. And before you go off the phone, when you were telling me about this WendyTY.com, I know you're pretty smart. You're saying everybody could go in and look at it, but you know what? When you look at it, you're going to see more than maybe the average bear might see. So what is your look for the summer and the fall when you guys, these people decided not to sail up from Tahiti? Is it that the wind will be stalled? Is it that you expect hurricanes?
I think because in the southern hemisphere, they have the La Nina effect. And so after looking at all the charts, those guys in our South Pacific brethren, they said, you know what, it's probably too precarious, hairy to try to attempt, because they were going to bring their leaders on these large canoes. But now the leaders are going to fly to Hawaii, and maybe the canoes from Hawaii that are here now, Ikeanalia and Hawaii Loa and
go over to Oahu for this IUCN. Would that be right? Are you still with us? Uncle John, are you still with us?
The phone indicates he's still there, but hello. Oh.
Hello, are you still there?
Well, while he's away, I tell you, this site is really cool.
Okay, can you maybe even put that on my Facebook and on KKCR?
Okay.
And then what are you seeing there?
Oh, you get the whole globe. You can scroll around, go wherever you want. You can, go into precise points. I was looking at Princeville, and it's got the wind and the temperature and the rainfall accumulations and the the pressure and the whole thing. It's basically, you can look at the world's weather all in one glance.
Well, that's great. And then, yes, let's post that, and then I want to be able to be looking at that as well. And that's good for surfers, it's good for fishermen, good for a lot of different things. So, well, we lost our Kanu Kumu there, but he might call back, or I have him. I've always been wanting him to come in here. He's been into KKCR, but he hasn't been in the flesh on the show, which is Kauai Soapbox with Marshall and Felicia. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man. And we're really happy that you are tuned in.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Attention recyclers, beginning June 1st, Kauai residents and businesses can recycle their electronic waste free of charge 6 days a week. E-waste will be accepted at the Puhi Metals Recycling Center Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Puhi Metals is located at 3951 Puhi Road, about a mile from the intersection of Kaumualii Highway. Acceptable e-waste includes computers and accessories, televisions, printers, office equipment, audio and video equipment, and handheld devices. All brands of e-waste will be accepted free of charge with no quantity limits. Services are provided by Resource Recovery Solutions, and e-waste is shipped for recycling to IMS Electronics Recycling in Washington. For more information, call the County Recycling Office at 241-4841, 241-4841, or visit our website at kauai.gov/e-waste, kauai.gov/e-waste. Help keep our garden aisle green. Recycle your e-waste.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And our call-in number is 826-7771. We were mentioning a few of the things coming up this weekend, so I want to bring up a couple more. One of those is the Mayorathon is on Saturday. That's along the east shoreline on the bike path there, and people can walk, run, whatever. You don't have to be solid and strong. You just go. You can bring your dog on a leash. It's kind of a big community party that is about health. I think Get Fit Kauai puts that on. And on Sunday, besides the animal event, I know I've got, I won't say whose, but another graduation party. I want to, again, congratulate all of our graduates that have been coming out of the schools. This one is for a Kamehameha graduate, so I'm going to have a crowded day, because then after that, I am going to go to the Manifest. And a wonderful event. Xavier Rudd is playing there, and that's at the Church of the Pacific in Princeville. And, you know, there are different food vendors and providers. Mostly it's Kauai and local foods and all kinds of beautiful things. So it sounds like we have a caller. If they come on, we'll take that. And then otherwise, I'm going to play a little thing on the Manifest. Okay. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. I just wanted to make a little reminder of the Oceans for Peace folks are having a free movie at Koloa Neighborhood Center tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Wednesday. Oceans for Peace.
Oh, Thursday. Thursday.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oceans.
Thursday at 6 p.m.
And is this the one about the sound? Is it called Sonic Sea?
That's the one.
Tell us, you know, I looked at the trailer. It looks great. It's talking about the sound in the ocean and how it impacts the animals. Is that correct?
Yeah. I used to work at a dolphin research center, and I did lots of research on their signals and subtle sounds and stuff like that. So, yeah, I saw some of that too. And holy smokes, now with these gigantic ships, you know, with 8 million containers and stuff going back and forth from China and so on. And the sound in the ocean is way different from how it used to be.
I know. As I was preparing for the show today, I was sitting where there was a lawnmower and a weed whacker. And I like lawnmowers and weed whackers, so I'm not getting down on people with lawnmowers and weed whackers. But couldn't listen to any of the things that I was trying to put for sound bites or a little bit of extra research in that last moment. And so I think in the film, Sonic Sea, these animals are much more sound sensitive than we are, and it would be like having, you know, a leaf blower and a lawnmower and a weed whacker outside your window all the time.
Right, and your beloved is whispering to you somewhere.
Yes.
You said this. And you can hear nothing, you know.
You said this is in Kauai?
Yes, at the Koloa Neighborhood Center, 6 p.m., and it is Thursday, sorry, the 23rd.
Okay, Neighborhood Center and...
Sonic Seas.
Yeah, so 6 p.m., it's still light out. Are you going to talk story at the front end of it or something?
It's an inside thing.
Okay. Oh, right, the neighbor. Okay, yep, it's inside. All right.
I know they do have those poipu outside kind.
Yeah, I was just thinking the sunlight. Okay, and then I think there is another event between now and next Tuesday besides the Thursday showing. Is that right? Do you have another one this week besides that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just cut this one out of the paper because I'm going.
Okay, okay. So people could go, if they look at Oceans for Peace Kauai on a search, they'll find it.
There's a list.
Yeah, there's a list. There is a very long list that I went through last show.
That's why I cut just the piece out.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks for your show.
All right, thank you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thank you for holding. You're on the air, KKCR.
Hey, aloha, Felicia.
Aloha.
I know this isn't the norm, but... I'd really like to wish my 30-year-old, I've known him for 30 years, Ron McDonald, a very happy birthday. He's chilling down on his sailboat in the Willy Willy. He's not feeling so good, but he's a faithful listener to your show.
Yeah,
and
hi,
he's
Ron.
Been a really super good friend to me for all these years. Played a lot of music with
Uncle Lico,
Jumbo and Keone and Bobo Maka. Good friend, good guy.
He plays bass, right? He's a bass player?
Bass player,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, he's good.
But, I mean, he plays a lot of other instruments other than that. And talk about a water man. I mean, this guy does it all, you know, scuba dives, can play about any kind of instrument that you can imagine.
But, yes, and he does a lot of political research.
He often calls in.
He's a strong voice for the Kanaka Maoli.
Yeah.
As a transplant.
I think he's a registered Hawaiian national.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yep. So Ron McDonald.
Ole lahanao, Ron, and thanks for being my friend.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Felicia. Aloha.
You're welcome. Aloha. So... I guess we had almost finished up the UK thing. Maybe not completely, but that's a big deal if the UK leaves the European Union. What I could see is that at least when I was there last time, it seemed absolutely overwhelmed with people from everywhere but there. I figured, okay, it's their karma. you know. They say the sun never sets on the British Empire, and so the whole world has come home to be there. And then I did see English people complaining that it's really hard to compete for work with the people who had moved there, who are willing to work for next to nothing. So it's the same complaint and pressures that are here. There's a lot more elements of that. I know when I see the French complaint, they feel like Germany is dominating. You're nodding your head. Is it because I know you've looked at this stuff? Marshall's a good researcher. Is that correct?
What you just said?
Yes, about Germany being so strong. I know when people have different nations, people in different nations have seen the austerity program in Greece. What that means is that money was taken right out of people's bank accounts. Things like the schools get closed or hospitals. People are out on the street. What's happened there and what is currently happening in Puerto Rico? This is a worldwide problem, really. In Puerto Rico has declared bankruptcy in the past year, and now there are what's called vulture funds that are going in, and they are demanding that they are paid first. And so people who have always paid their taxes who live there and who have never borrowed the money personally, their kids don't have a school to go to. Their hospitals are being shut down. You know, places like Greece, Puerto Rico are somewhat the canary in the coal mine of what is happening with, you know, kind of the end of this I want to call exponential curve that our economy has been on as we have become a world economy in the last 100 years or so?
Well, to tell you, the number one concern about the Brexit is that
British exit.
Uh-huh. British exit is that the pound sterling could plummet. So
why?
Why?
Because they're not able to export the products as much. They would have an export.
Heightened economic uncertainty, possibility of industries leaving London for cities within the UK, investors not financing the UK's high current account deficit, you know, all kinds of economic technical stuff. And but there's two sides to that. You know, major international corporations are really sounding the alarm bell. They're not into this because, can you imagine right now?
It'll impact them, but, you know, remember in 2008 when we had the real property meltdown, the real estate boom crashed, the bubble burst. You know, they said, oh, if you don't give us all this money, we're gonna go bust. So they basically hijacked the U.S. government for what ended up being more than $2 trillion, and they didn't re-spend it. They moved it over to Europe, and that was seen, and, you know, that came out watching it on C-SPAN in these hearings. It's, you know, sometimes it's fear baiting, sometimes it's extortion. Will something happen? Absolutely. But I look and I go, the sky's still green, the air still blows. The sky's still blue, the grass is still green, and, you know, like, you look at this stuff, you go, animals don't need currency. It's sort of crazy that we're a species that needs currency. And if you think about it, you know, the currency doesn't mean anything. It's just a promise, right? It's just a concept. So I don't panic when I hear these things. I go, hey, I know at least within my community there's a pretty robust share economy. Certainly at KKCR, where we are 95% volunteers in here, this is a share economy. There's a lot of share economy that happens here. And so that's why you need to grow your own plants.
You know, okay. But on the other hand, if another financial downturn is precipitated by a Brexit, that's
British exit, of the European Union. All this, like, buzzwords, okay.
Yeah, everybody in the world is calling it the Brexit.
I haven't even heard of it today. I don't watch mainstream media. Go ahead, anyway.
To Brexit or to remain. I love it.
All right, okay, all right. He's a little wonkish. Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, I was just talking to my neighbors today who bought a house just before 2008. And
at the top of the market?
Yeah, and then it lost half its value, and they had to declare bankruptcy and move into a little apartment and whatever. And so these are global economic forces at play that could very well affect us intimately.
Okay,
here.
And I'm glad you brought that up. Buzzword here, bankruptcy. Last week, and by the way, you can call in at 826-7771. You can interrupt us on this topic if you have something else you want to talk about. But last week, I went to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on Oahu. That was where the global agricultural companies are suing Maui, Kauai, and Hawaii. And it was interesting because that was a bankruptcy court, and I had never even thought about that before. Like, bankruptcy court. Here, federal court does not even have a courtroom in Hawaii, but the federal bankruptcy court's got its own logo and big grand things, and they are deserving of a room to their own all the time. So I go, wow, okay, that many people are filing federal bankruptcy, and something that's going to come up, I believe for the next show, I got to look. It might be on the 28th, or I might do the week after. But this is something that listeners have been calling into my attention. I'm going to do it on the 28th. On Mondays, between mostly 8 and 9 in the morning, there are debtor courts. And so I have had different people call me, just like we heard from animal person concerned. I've been getting these debtor concerns. And these are predatory buyers of old debt. So maybe you had something, you know, 10 years ago or long time ago. Or maybe you never even actually had it. Somebody said you owed them money. Those monies get bundled and sold. So somebody could come in and buy your debt on 2 cents on the dollar or, you know, some fraction of what it's owed. But they can go after you for the full amount. And so if you don't show up to court, it's going to be awarded to them. And so if you get the, now I'm just hearing about this, so I'm going to go and I'm going to look, I'm going to go to court, I'm going to go watch it, I'm going to see what people's paperwork is, and I'm going to try and find, so if I have a knock on my listener out there who is a financial advisor, financial attorney who wants to come in and help on community radio with this discussion next week, if you don't show up, it just gets given to them. And then they can sit there and continue to try and go after you. And it's really very difficult. It ruins your credit rating. There's all kinds of problems. So, bankruptcy, yes.
Bankruptcy.
It's a game. Game, yeah, tough game.
Well, but tell me more about the court cases over there.
It was interesting. First was Kauai's case. I will say it was the strongest case because nobody's trying to stop anything on Kauai. This came out of Ordinance 960, which was Bill 2491. And for those who don't know what that was, there was a really profound citizen push to say, we want to know what we're being sprayed with when these companies who use restricted use pesticides are spraying. We want to know what we're being sprayed with. We want to know ahead of time. And we want to have buffers around schools, hospitals, and neighborhoods. And so that was what they were asking for. And it really has two parts of it. One is the disclosure of saying what's there, and then the other one is the buffer zone. And so on the disclosure end, it felt like there was three justices, and I felt like they did a good job. They asked good questions. It seemed like they were asking balanced questions. They were saying, that doesn't hurt your business. The request doesn't hurt your business. One could argue that the buffer zones potentially hurt their business. But we had Paul Achitoff, who is really a very, very great attorney from Earth Justice. And then I think his first name is John Mickens, who is representing the county. He did a really good job, too. In every one of these islands cases, there was a state element and then a federal element. And in our case, really, the federal judge had said the feds don't have preemption, but the state maybe does. And so we're saying, okay, Kauai's saying, send it back to state court then and find out. You know, don't just have it be shut down because of that. So it's a very subtlety of law. The Maui case and then the Hawaii case each had a different one. Hawaii came next, and they're saying, all right, they're not here now. We don't want to allow any more genetically engineered crops, particularly those that have all these intensive pesticides. We don't want them here. So anybody who's here, the footprint that's here, which is really only papayas over there, they said, that's fine, but we don't want the others. And so that is a blocking of business. And then in Maui, they had the weakest case because their county did not engage. It was just the citizen movement. Molokai was unhappy that they weren't given standing in the court because Molokai has perhaps the most profound impacts. But Andrew Kimbrell was a part of that, too. He's with Center for Food Safety. Andrew Kimbrell and Paul Achitoff were part of the other two cases. And they really did an extraordinary job. It's the first time I've ever been in a federal court, and certainly a federal appeals court, so I learned something in it. Marjorie Bronster, who used to be the attorney general for the state, she voiced up for every single case. And her argument was, hey, She had used something called Dillon's Rule, which says the state government can preempt the political subdivisions, which would be inclusive of a county, to the point that they could even just dissolve them. So whatever they wanted to do was at the whim, and that the little brother of the county, really their only role is to do what the state says is up to them to do. And so, you know, she just said it like she knew it, and that's how it is. And she gave examples of, like, we have one school district for the entire state, and that's not very common, though many other states have a whole lot more people and over a much broader area. But so she argued that Hawaii had high centralization of power through the state government, and so it was up to them whatever wanted to happen. And she used something called Dooley's Rule, which is what's called settled case. See, I get to learn lots of things when I show up at all this stuff. But so with Dooley's Rule, she said there's other cases that are out there that say this is true. But Paul Achitoff argued really rather effectively, saying it's not true. And he gave the examples of where there's other laws. And, you know, they're so far away from they're like, I think, plumbing, you know, and things that really have very, very little parallel with what is the disclosure piece. But it takes like 3 months, maybe up to a year, before they're going to give a judgment. And I think by having the strongest case first and then going to the weakest case, what was seen over the course of three cases is, hey, this is a problem across the state. This is not just one isolated area. This whole state is not happy with what's going on. And the fact that these attorneys are actually being the defendants instead of the plaintiffs, that's a huge thing. That means they've won. They've won already, and then they have to protect their victory. So I think for Paul Achitoff of Earth Justice and Andrew Kimbrell of Center for Food Safety, that was like a really, really big turning point. And I think Hawaii matters heavily in this particular agriculture issue, because we are almost ground zero. There might be several ground zeros. I think it's a little arrogant to say that we are the very cornerstone of their research, but it's a big piece. And so we matter. So, you know, when you're looking for the silver lining in there, there's some silver lining in there somewhere. As I was saying on the animal issue, I like to try and look for solutions that don't require making anybody wrong. So if I may, we're almost at 5:30. It's 5:25. I want to say what I'm kind of happy about.
Yes, good.
You know, I'm so
finally. Look at that smile.
I'm pretty excited. We meaning Regenerations and in the organic kind of crowd, there's the Hawaii Farmers Union United. There's about 6 or 7 little hooies of people that overlap, and we're all kind of working on the same thing. Mostly all the small farmers are underfunded, you know. They're scrambling to just kind of figure out how to be producing the food. We aren't global corporations. We're little mom and pop businesses. But I liked how at the county general plan update meeting on agriculture, they had the state consultant, and he said, well, the future of ag is being planned at the kitchen table instead of the boardroom, and really seeing how big agriculture is diminishing and the shift has gone to these small pieces. So I'm not pessimistic. And like what we've come up with, we got this grant. Okay, so I'm excited. So we got a grant from the Office of Economic Development. That was Bernard Carvalho and George Costa, just kind of giving some credit out there. Mm-hmm. Gave us a grant at the time that this 2491960 disappointment was happening. And that grant was, all right, you know, well, we want to encourage you to figure out your ways of solving these pieces. So the narrow part of the grant is a bioremediation study. And that's how do we clean up the land? So the very big good news is, I mean, we already know it, but we're proving it and we're developing more possibilities on this, is that it's not the end of the world that this land has been poisoned. It's not ideal, but, you know, we don't have to be on such a big bummer. I was listening to Hector Valenzuela. There was a little clip from him. Love him. He's a UH professor on the last show. And there were some other voices that were saying, well, you know, our land is poisoned now. Okay, yes. And how do we move forward? Or how do we move forward where we want to move forward? So when we got this grant, we wanted to be able to show how we can clean up the land. Now, we are working on our test plot. Happens to have some of the worst of the chemicals, which is DDT, and the last time it was sprayed was like 65 years ago, and it's still in the soil. So it's a very persistent legacy chemical. The ones that the companies are using more recently, they break down faster. But so it's like, how do we metabolize the pesticides out, and how do we revitalize the soils? And so our study was on the Korean natural farming method. And so that's with Master Cho, and he really has a system for what's called aerobic indigenous beneficial microorganisms. I don't want to be throwing out a lot of big words, but basically taking the little creatures that are in the soil that are naturally here. You can get them up in the mountains if they're not left on your land. You can get things that are meant to be on Kauai. And when you look at a plant like guinea grass, for example, guinea grass has such vigorous growth, right? And even in the worst of conditions. So what these efforts that are being done, like right now on Maui, we just had a big event last weekend studying some of this with more on the anaerobic. What it does is it looks at what's happening within that system where even guinea grass can grow just so vibrantly, and how do we duplicate it? And when you look at nature, it keeps very, very vibrant life going on at no cost. Nobody's spending money up there on the mountain to make it work. So we're looking at how we can duplicate it at minimal cost for local food production. And we are seeing some real success, because it's not just getting rid of the pesticides. How you get rid of the pesticides is these organisms and mycelium, which is like a mushroom, it digests or metabolizes would be the word, metabolizes these into different, it breaks down the pesticide. So that's great. And what we're trying to do is make the soil better. So when you think of conventional agriculture, they put inputs in to feed the plant. There is like the synthetic process has a certain type of nitrogen or whatever else, a certain type of fertilizer to feed the plant. Well, what this other strategy of doing it is it feeds the soil. You create the soil, and then the soil raises whatever plant that you want on it. And so when there's both an aerobic and an anaerobic method, the aerobic goes on the top and the anaerobic goes beneath. And what we're finding is these anaerobic processes are so easy. And they're so cheap, and you can do it right there. If you have nothing good on your land, well, then you're going to have to make it a little bit further up. But once you get it going on your own land, you can keep propagating it right there. But it's really simple. You know, it's basically like water, sea salt, and then an indigenous microorganism concentrate, and it gets dripped into the water. And that's going to go in the layer, the anaerobic layer, the layer that doesn't have oxygen, down below. And then when you use the aerobic, which takes a little bit more effort, you know, to create these little microbes and like worm eggs and things like that that you put on the top, it takes a little bit more effort. I'll be honest on that. But it still doesn't take a whole lot more cost. And then so you can put it on the top and the bottom. And it's working really, really well. And so at this event this last weekend, because these people came over from Korea, This is happening in a number of countries, but Hawaii is becoming a really good place for synthesizing both the aerobic and the anaerobic program together. And so when they were doing some tests, different farmers came in and they showed them the papaya mealybug and they showed them the coffee borer and different chronic problems. And these people had just come from Korea and were able to make organic pesticides, you know, from what's right there, like taking the strength of the plant. And then within a day and one other thing, 2 days, they got rid of the pest. And so, you know, when they're buying this chemical that normally is what they have to use to kill it, it's $500 a gallon in the concentrated form, and then they dilute it. And where this, they made a concentrated thing for 50 cents a gallon.
So these folks came from Korea, and farmers here gave them pests that they're struggling with. And in a couple of days, they made a low-cost natural pesticide.
That's right. And then it killed it. And so what's so exciting is that organic farming is finally going to be cheaper than chemical farming. You know, we're kind of breaking through that threshold. So if we can clean up the soil, and then if we can deal with the pests in a natural way, because I have to say, you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox, and right now we're talking about some of what is being innovated by the Hawaii Farmers Union United and Regenerations and just our community here as we are working with the people coming from Korea. And by the way, they're stoked and coming over. It's not like they haven't been here before. They come over here pretty regularly. And so some of this concept is that when we need to put minerals in the soil, because we have a minerally depleted soil base and we have, you know, delicate or fragile tropical soils. That's something that's there. But, hey, there's the ocean, and the ocean has all these different minerals in it. And so part of it is how you take the seawater and you pull out the minerals that you want. And so you can get those minerals from the seawater, and then you can get a lot of these microbes and mycelium. If your soil is so depleted, you can get it as you go up the mountain. Right, and you can get it and then cultivate it and bring it down. But you can also make these fermented fruit juices, and there's different ways. Like if you want to be amplifying your avocado tree when it's fruiting, or when it's just in its growth stage, or when it's in its flowering stage, how you take the enzymes from the plant itself and then I'm trying to remember the word that they use. They exponentiate those enzymes and microbes, and you can just do a foliar spray right on the plant. And so it's like giving it steroids of what it needs and wants, but you don't have to buy that from some place in California or Asia or anywhere else. It's right on your place. And it's just actually not that hard. And so the anaerobic efforts, they're quick. You know, it's like not even much work. You kind of just do it for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, do a little bit of work, and then, you know, seal it up for 24 hours so it can, you know, grow. And then you just put it in the drip system, you know. And you don't want a lot of chlorine in that drip system, you know. That you got to make sure of that, because that's going to kill it. But it's cheap. And it's working. So it's a big deal. And you know, it can work in a synthetic system. That's the word that they use that's like the opposite of organic. Or maybe you could use the word conventional. But when it can work with machines, it's less ideal. But it can work in a mechanized system. In a non-mechanized system, it's a no-till method. Tends to be more diversified agriculture. They call it polyculture. So you have less pests anyway. But this can work, and it's cheaper. So we're super excited. And other kind of big yay, 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 thank you is we had gotten that grant from the county. And then we just this month got a $100,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to scale it up.
Yes.
To scale it up and to be doing it at a greater production level. Now, more of this is going to be happening on Maui because they have these lands available to do. And over there, they're, at present, their county and the people there have more capacity to be doing a production level of that. But we're going to have them here in November. They're going to come. The Maui group is going to come over here and do a big training. And what we're hoping for is to be working with, you know, landscapers and farmers. And we would actually, you know, really welcome the big agriculture companies. It's like it's not about making them wrong. It's about, like, teaching them another methodology. And maybe it will work for them. You know, who knows? But what can happen, too, with the bioremediation on the back end, when fields are vacated, you know, they can get cleaned up. When people have houses, like you've been to my house, I've got what I call my Akamai backyard. I love eating out of my yard. It's also cheaper, and I know what's in there. It's sort of guilt-free, and it's like being an artisan, and if I can do it, anybody can do it. That's what I believe. And so when I see how rocking and strong my little backyard is, anybody can clean up their backyard. And we can start cleaning up everywhere. And so it doesn't have to be a bummer. And so that's what I want. I want it to be good. And so I'm happy because, and so we're making a video, a training video. I've been working on that. So one other little shout out, something I learned, I was like, I learned at the last moment that we had to have that captioning that goes on the bottom, like when you look at something that the county puts out, it's got the words written along the bottom. And I learned that's all done over the phone live. Somebody is sitting somewhere else listening, and they're typing it. I've always wondered, how do they do that? Well, it's a real live person doing it. But I'm going to have these people on. I'm going to have the American Disabilities Act Division from the county in here coming up pretty soon because, gosh, that woman, Linda, was so smart. And there's just job opportunities for people doing the captioning, and I was really afraid it was going to cost a lot of money. And it's not unreasonable, and so it's exciting to be adding that in there. And I just want to give a shout-out to the county for what they have in their American Disabilities group, because they do work really hard and loving, kind, wanting to work with everybody. And Linda had all kinds of ideas of where there is job openings for people who could be helping with the sign language and the captioning and other pieces of helping with ADA. And she said that really somehow people with ADHD, what does that stand for again? Hyperactivity.
Attention
deficit hyperactivity disorder tend to be the best at this. She says it's pretty strange, but they're actually really, really good at those skill sets.
You're talking about positions for which they're hiring now, or positions mm-hmm. which could be created?
Well, positions that are needed, like they can't find enough people with these skills,
mm-hmm.
and that there is money for it. So, you know, looking at, you know, which directions are good for people. And, you know, I was talking to her just for a little bit, and you just tell when somebody deeply cares about the community, and she was just bubbling up with all these ideas and pieces of information of what would be good for which people with which challenges, or, you know, really for anybody, but you don't have to have a challenge to be good at this. But so me, being a KKCR Community Affairs Programmer, I said, hey, you know, can you come in the radio and say that? But she couldn't come in today. I wanted her to come in today. She didn't come in a couple of weeks. But anyway, I'm happy about both of those things. Yay.
Yay.
Yay. And, you know, why not just solve it? Tropicare, I want to throw that one out.
Yes,
they're here.
Tropicare. I actually...
That is a group of the different branches of the service. They come, they love doing it, and they're nice, bright, loving people come over and they practice having a medical facility if they were deployed somewhere, whether it's in the United States in an emergency situation or in another country. And I can see, Marshall, you're looking it up, so you can jump in here whenever you're ready. But it is at Kapa'a Middle School, is the east side location. I'm hoping that they're getting a good attendance. It's normally been at All Saints Gym. It's not there now, so it's not as visible from the road. It's at Kauai Community College. And then, is it at Elielie School? Where's the third one?
Give me just a second
okay.
on that, Felicia.
He's looking it up. So there's three locations, and it started yesterday, and I believe it's a week. And that's a good thing.
Okay, so clinics are open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily on the west side. It's Elielie Elementary School. We've got Kauai Community College and Kapa'a Middle School. And they'll be doing physical exams, eyeglasses, dental exams, tooth extractions, and fillings. And it runs from June 20th to 29th. And it's all free. And during this time, the Kauai bus service will be free of charge island-wide, too. So if you ever want to just take a ride on the bus, jump on now. You can go wherever you want for free.
Really?
Really?
The Kauai bus is free this week?
That's right.
For anybody?
That's
going
right.
anywhere?
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try it out.
People should try it out. Normally, I think it's $2.
Right. Well, yeah, $2, okay. Unless you have a
pass
or senior citizens. Or.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
And the people there are nice if you go to Tropicare with the bus.
Yeah.
But it's a good opportunity just to experience the bus, so let's give them a hollow out to the county for doing that.
Yeah, that's cool, huh?
Before I come in, I always write myself a little note here, and I have draft environmental impact statement for the Hawaii Dairy Farm, and that's a 6-inch stack. It's a very, very thick stack of information. It's like 3,000 pages of information, so I haven't looked through everything. But what I have seen is that with 6 inches of information right there, what they did not choose to include that sort of surprised me is when we've seen Save Our Seas has been doing the water contamination problem that's there at Waiopili Stream, where already there is really profound amounts of bacteria count that is from feces in the water, and like healthy or what's within compliance is under 135 parts per minute per millimeter. Excuse me, per liter, per milliliter. It's a little 100 milliliters is what's in there. So parts per million. Sorry, 135 parts per million is okay. And, you know, a high ranking on that stream test is 18,000. A low one is 4,000. The mean is something like 8,000. It is consistently contaminated there. That's coming out of Mahalapu. One thing that did get uncovered in this process is that that's where the human biosolids from the big sewage treatment plants have been being placed, not right where the dairy is, but about a half a mile away from this waterway, the Waiopili Stream, and it is probably what is making it in there. There's probably other things, too. You know, there's a horse stable there. I'm sure there's, you know, pigs and things in that valley, but for some reason, that stream is intensively contaminated. So they didn't even put that number one piece in this environmental impact statement, and I will probably do a show on it. It is an overwhelming amount of information, but they have very, very simplistic statements in there. And something else that I saw was, you know, they did an amendment on it. They did several amendments on it. It did used to say there would be no contaminants that came out of it. It was a zero-waste project. So now that's out of there. But there is so many challenges with that. And the key ones aren't even in this big fat stack. So there's a lot going on with that particular problem. And kind of jumping back to my happy story, though, when we're doing this bioremediation stuff, I think, hey, we got to just come in there with like bioremediators.com. The guy from that, he's thinking of moving over here or at least coming over here. He does big industrial cleanups with mycelium. And maybe we can get some county money or something like that, or it's everybody's poop, so maybe the county or the state put some money in there, or the landowner, whatever. But to see if we can't digest out all that biosolids, which is basically manure of sorts, maybe, I don't know that it could handle 2,000 cows pooping and peeing on it, but it could help to break that down. Something that surprised me, there was a question in the newspaper in the Garden Island asking if people were concerned about it, and the no's, no, they weren't concerned, was just slightly higher than yes, they were concerned. But I was thinking, hey, they haven't been studying it. You know, there's a lot going on. We have another caller, and coming up at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock will be Jazz with John, one of my favorite programmers in here. Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, Felicia. This is Makoto Lane. I'm calling.
Oh, great. Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling in reference because I heard you talking about the Grove Farm sewage sludge dump.
Yeah, have you looked at that draft environmental impact statement?
I have not been able to look at the environmental statement or EIS for the dairy farm. However, I am aware that they left the Grove Farm sewage sludge dump out of it.
Yeah, it's out of it. It's not in there.
Which is very perplexing because it sets, if Grove Farm doesn't have environmentally sound practices like dumping sewage sludge without liners, then it shows a history of them not making environmentally sound choices, which the dairy farm is not. You know?
Well, really, if you were to look at a lot of these details, there was something called a sanitation survey. And it is really pretty compelling, but they gave it to Grove Farm first, and then 8 months ahead of when it went out to the public, and Grove Farm's name was taken out of it, and it was sort of neutralized a little bit from what was in there. And so that's concerning.
Yes. There's specifically, I think, Watson Okubo is proactively trying to sweep the Grove Farm sewage sludge dump under the carpet, because I think they're embarrassed that they approved it in the first place and that there was no oversight.
Well, I don't know. I know for myself here on the radio, I make an effort to not name individuals, but I, you know, that somebody could look into that. But
yeah.
Yes. So there's a lot of problems right there. And so it's something that's compelling to all of us because we do all poop. So we need to know where this stuff goes. That got quietly stopped. The permit was stopped for dumping right there. But the count is still high, and I don't know where it's being dumped now. Do you?
I have no idea where it's being dumped now. It was specifically four different communities that were contributing to that.
Yeah.
Was on paper.
Yeah, it was a lot.
We don't know, because there was no oversight, we don't know if there was honey wagons going there or just straight sewage sludge. I mean, just straight sewage. We don't know what was being dumped there because there was no oversight.
A honey wagon
is when they clean the porta potties, and so it's raw sewage. Somewhere, yeah. I mean, I try and be very cautious of what I say on air, but you aren't the only caller who has brought that to my attention.
I've personally had conversations with that person, and it's obvious he's hiding something, and he doesn't speak to me truthfully. So that's
okay.
It is what it is.
Well, thank you for that insight, and I invite you to look through this draft environmental impact statement, because I'm happy to share the task. I know that there are other people looking at it. It was given to me A lot of these things have a lot of overwhelming data. I looked at the Marine Sanctuary paperwork and the end of the road, you know, the KA Beach Master Plan and the Hanalei, you know, and all these things are like 2 inches thick, and then you really got to go for the details. So it's a little bit overwhelming. But so
yeah.
if whoever did give me that draft environmental impact statement, I apologize that I don't have more details out, but I have been sifting through it, and you know, it uses very vague languages like, oh, there isn't a problem. You know, it's pretty nonspecific where it's responding to certain issues. So
yeah, I just wanted to make it known that it is the grow farm food sludge dump, and they're trying to hide it, the DOH specifically.
The Department of Health. The Department of Health has been not very responsive. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And
right,
and really,
you,
okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Aloha. Hey, you know what? I realized I was going to play this piece about the manifest. And because I'm excited about it, I'm going to be there on Sunday. I went 2 years ago when they had Michael Fronte, and it was just great. And Xavier Rudd is the headliner, but let's hear about this.
Dove presents Manifest 3, Xavier Rudd, Bobby Alou, Shiloh Pa, Sashimon, Root Hub, and more. Sunday, June 26th at the Church of the Pacific Outdoor Amphitheater. Gates open at noon, show starts at 1 p.m., Xavier Rudd starts at 7 p.m. Tickets at Hanalei Harvest Market, Kilauea Healthy Hut, Papayas, Natural Foods in Kapa'a, Progressive Expressions in Koloa. All ages welcome. More information at dovepresents.com, 635-5556. Manifest 3 with Xavier Rudd from Australia, Sunday, June 26th.
And he has been going around to the other islands, and our Thomas that I just heard right there, I know is on tour with him, Thomas from Jungle Jukebox, a real music man. Another really high point for Kauai Community Radio, and I am going to play Amy Goodman's pitch for us, and I want to thank all of those listeners who contribute to Kauai Community Radio, because we are on the air because of you. And it is a volunteer station.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
And mahalo, Amy Goodman. Yeah, Democracy Now! She does a very, very thorough job when she's reporting on things.
Do you get to catch her much?
I do. I listen more when I'm in the car. She's like from 11 to 12 on KKCR. And sometimes, though, I will watch, and then it's video, you know, on the computer. But very often I'm driving. So anyway, she does a good job. Do you have any final thoughts before we hear from our county council report? And then we will be hearing from Jazz with John.
No, just a pleasure to be here, Felicia. Thank you very much, and aloha, everyone.
Okay, well, actually, I'm seeing our council report is very, very short. It's a 24-second report, so we have just a little bit more time. John, do you have anything you want to share with people? Does the Lions Club got anything going?
Not right now.
He says not right now, but one thing the Lions Club does an excellent job on, and so does the Rotary Club, so I'm giving him a little bit of a tap on the shoulder, is they do a lot to help schools and education programs. And, you know, there's many efforts underway. I saw in the paper about the North Shore High School you know, putting in for that $10 million grant. There are several different schools that are working on, you know, charter school applications. I've been involved in that, and you just see how much passion is out there. And I want to say that the Department of Education is helpful with, supporting people's charter school dreams and efforts, and a lot of good things with those efforts, and, you know, kind of keeping our schools nice and strong and healthy as well. So education, something else near and dear to my heart.
Right. So I saw, did you see in the paper they're talking about the proposal for the North Shore High School?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying, yep.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Talking to John,
for
a second.
Yeah, so that is funded by a lot of those dot-commers who have a home here. You know, I'm hopeful. There's a really beautiful vision in there. I was kind of part of that conversation and know what's being looked at. And the gurus that they are encouraging are ones that are my own heroes, Tony Wagner, Sir Ken Robinson. It's all about experiential learning, and then really bringing in that there are so many ways to learn now. We don't really need to sit in a school, you know, all the time like we once did, and project-based learning and partnership, and, you know, they have a real piece where they think it's important for the host culture and the indigenous culture to be integrated into that. So it's in alignment with what I think is most of the vision and the awareness of people here. There's, you know, over 1,000 applicants. This school has made it through a couple of hurdles, this school application, so the numbers are far less now that there are the competitors. But just as I was telling Sheila, when she says it's instantly going to get better when we're talking about the animals, you know, it's important to have optimism without being unrealistically optimistic. But the good thing is, when there's this design for the North Shore High School, whether or not the super schools, I think it's called Super School X or something like that, is going to fund it, it's a template that we can work on for whatever we want to move forward to. You know, we don't always have to have outside help, though. It is really nice to get that shot in the arm. So here is the County Council report. This has been Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And Jazz with John is up next.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of June 20th. The council has not posted an agenda for either the council committee or the regular council on their website, so I'm assuming they'll be taking next week off. I will return with the council report when the council reconvenes. Aloha, John Gordon for KKCR News.